You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on your home smart speaker. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, round one of the PGA Championship. Still ongoing, and they're going to be playing into primetime on the East Coast. Like John Rahm and company, they just went out. They're going to be out there for another 3.5-4 hours. So,
who do you have out there right now?
I have Rahm, and he's one over. I have DeChambeau, he's one under. And that's about it. My other guys are already in the clubhouse, I believe.
Looking Finau, good, I might add.
Yeah, Koepka at 4 under, Finau at 3 under. Daniel Berger at 3 under, and DJ dropped the shot late, so Dustin Johnson at 1 under. Tiger Woods 2 under, though. Like, a lot of people wondering what's up with Tiger, and he looked pretty good. Like,
what about the two guys he played with? I got them, too.
Justin Thomas couldn't hit the fairway for his life. Like, to see him struggle off the tee like that was, like, shocking.
Well, he was 2 under at one point, still slashing it around like that.
Yeah, he was hitting 3 woods, like 40 yards right.
Oh,
like,
I was just going to say, if you can't hit your driver, pull out your 3 wood and rip it down the middle, but he couldn't even do that?
He couldn't. He had to hit a provisional on a 3 wood. I don't know if I've ever seen that on the PGA Tour. I'm pretty sure it was a 3 wood. It was like a short par 4, and I think he was just trying to kind of lay up. He wasn't going for it, and he pushed it wide right. And because there aren't fans there, they're losing balls, which is crazy. I don't think he could find it. And I'm pretty sure earlier in the round, McIlroy couldn't find one of his.
There's nothing worse than that, Hayes. I mean, I know you hit a fade. Mm-hmm. And if it starts going and you can't correct it on the course mid-round, it's a nightmare.
It ends you. Like, these guys can grind and they find a way to get creative. And, you know, like, there was a stat that Curtis Strange dropped earlier today that at one point when Tiger was rolling back in the early 2000s, he was like dead last in the tournament for driving accuracy and number one in greens in regulation. He's like, I don't even know how that's possible. Like, he was just a magician.
Remember that guy? He would just launch it 325, and it would be in the longest rough on the course, and he'd hit a pitching wedge from 175 yards
right to
10 feet and make it.
Yeah. Exactly. He was just a magician. Like, he could hit shots where no one else would even think about hitting those shots.
Other guys were hitting sand wedges sideways to get it back on the fairway.
Exactly. They're chipping out, and this guy's going for the pin. But anyway, so that's ongoing. We're a couple hours away from puck drop. Leafs taking on Columbus, game 3 tonight. And we'll get to that momentarily. Ray Ferraro coming up in just a moment. Vancouver's already won this afternoon. They are up 2-1 in their series against Minnesota. Philly's up 2-0 on Washington. Philly looks like they might get that first seed.
They're
good, man.
Yeah,
they
look pretty good. The
goalie, they look pretty good.
And Elliott's playing today, even though, like, I would expect Hart to.
Right.
They gave the start to Brian Elliott. Like, they Philadelphia is very organized. That's the one thing in looking at them. They've got talent, but they look very organized. Like, everything they're doing out there has a purpose. So,
well, you know, coach, man, he's a good coach.
He finds a way to get teams to a cup final. He did it
goes
in Vancouver and New York. And
I love him.
Yeah, he's a great coach. What I will say is, though, like, if we're all being honest, or I'm being honest, I would still want to play Philly first. If you gave me a choice of the four teams, Philly, Washington, Boston, or Tampa, I am taking Philly first.
Every day of the week.
And I will challenge my own take from about an hour and a half ago. This is how crazy I'm getting on this show, and maybe this is because I'm literally in my basement broadcasting for 4.5 months. But about an hour and a half ago, I said, I think people in Montreal should want that draft pick, or at least in on that draft pick. And I think a lot of people would be thinking like that in Montreal, and they likely should be thinking like that maybe as an organization. Not that you're going to tell the players to throw a game or anything. Of course not. The players don't care. They're going to go out there and perform. But with that said, if the Habs get through and Philly gets the top seed, Montreal's going to play Philly in the first round.
When we were talking about it, I was going to make that point, but I had to actually figure out if Philadelphia, what they had done in previous games. I know they had won, but I was thinking, I'm like, I think Philly has a shot at that
I think
top
they do.
Seed.
It's them and Tampa, based on what's going on. And if
Boston, what do you do with your organization, though? Like, as stupid as it sounds, because they're just – they're on the verge or of possibly taking out Pitt, but
yeah, like, but they like that, that Roman.
What if you
like,
just go on a bit of a run players. And then you just lose in the next round? You're like, man, that was just a waste of a time.
Well, and that's
but
how
the competitiveness of everyone is like, we're not right. doing that.
Of course not. And I wouldn't expect anything less from players, from the
not.
Coach. Of course they're there to win. Why they should be there to win, of course. But
right.
fans think like that. I'm telling you from my own experience. I guarantee
what if they
you,
ultimately lose the next round, they're going to
yeah,
say, why the
like,
hell didn't they tank it?
Exactly. Like, why didn't we tank it and go for the first pick? You
well,
know,
they're
like
the same fans that are going nuts in their basement or at a bar having a beer, cheering on their team, and then when it's over, they're like, what the hell
of course.
Were they doing?
Fans are fickle. Yeah. Like that's yeah. Fans well, are frustrating. They're fickle. They don't make sense. They're incoherent at times. But
right,
that's,
and they're allowed
they're
to have their opinion.
Of the team.
Yeah, and their opinion can sway. Their opinion can change because I saw a media member in Toronto the other in Montreal the other day on Twitter saying Carey Price is washed up, he's nothing, and that was after the Montreal-Toronto exhibition game. You know, Carey Price is a bum, blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing. And then I went back on his Twitter account the other day. He was like, that's why he's the best goalie in the world. I'm like, you're an idiot.
That seems
like,
a little bit like, extreme. Yeah.
The guy, you know, like that's the type of stuff. And that's the stuff that frustrates me. Like, you know, I'm glad that Carey's having a nice run. He's just showing people what he is. That's you know, to me.
Well, if you don't know that by now, then you haven't been watching hockey. I mean, the guy won a Hart Trophy a few years ago. I don't think Carey Price has to prove anything to anybody.
Wow.
That said, he hasn't won a cup. So in
right.
that market, you know, if you want to be up there with Ken Dryden and Patrick Waugh and Jacques Plante and all of them, you got to win a cup. And
correct.
I don't think they're going to win a cup, but I sure feel pretty good about them getting past Pittsburgh, and I didn't think that a week ago. And here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What do you make of the Habs? 2-1 up on Pitt.
Just as I predicted.
Yeah, of course. Everybody.
Oh, predicted it, didn't
everybody saw this coming.
I may have texted one of my buddies the other night. I'm like, I think this team really stinks, and then they won the game. I had to write back to the guy and say, I think they still stink, but they won the game.
Man, they've hung in, eh? Like, but there's not – I would have thought if they were 2-1, it would have been like all Price and, you know, a couple of 2-1 wins. Yet – that's not really how it's been, you know, like the first, I don't know, what was it, eight, nine minutes of game one, he was awesome. And he's been really good since, but it's not like Pittsburgh's tipped the ice over it, in my opinion. And, you know, the yeah. shots are 50-20. They're, the guys in front of Price have played with more determination, more firmness, more grit, whatever you want to call it, than I thought they were capable of. And Pitt's just been okay. I mean, like, last night I saw the stat there that the rush chances were 15-3 for Montreal. Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah.
Like, that's not how I would have thought this series would go.
No,
Ray, what
and
do
they,
you think?
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
What do you think happens behind closed doors with Montreal? We were just talking about the idea of Montreal magically getting by Pitt, and then they get dummied. Like, are executives in a boardroom saying, "Why the hell did we do that? We just lost our chance at the big boy in Montreal." Or do you even like would NHL people even have those kind of convos?
Well, I don't know, man. Like, if you're are you talking from the league wide or from the team?
I'm just talking, like, from the team, the Montreal Canadiens, Lafreniere yeah. sitting there, and it's just like, you did the unbelievable, you took down Pitt, but then you get dummied and you lose your chance.
I think the guy that you wonder is the owner, right? Like, the GM, I think, is going to say, hey, I put this team together, I want to win so I can prove I've been doing work.
But that owner is probably dying to make Lafreniere jerseys.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Why wouldn't you be? He's from Quebec. It's a gold mine.
It's a slam dunk.
Well, I mean, you go through this and you do your, you know, you want to win for sure, as we all know. But man, part of you would go if after two games of the next series, Noodles, the Islander, the Ranger series, like that we played in, like if they're down 6-0, 6-0, they probably would think this was a waste of time. And man, we could have probably used Lafreniere.
Yeah.
But you're trying to, you know, they're trying to get through. It's it's such a goofy deal here anyway. I think the of the things the league did just, you know, they did so many things just great. They did an awesome job getting all of this stuff back together. The one thing they fumbled, and then once they fumbled, they kicked it down the field, was the draft. Because I look, this is not the playoffs. No matter what they call it, we all know that the playoffs are 16 teams. And in the past, 15 teams that don't make the playoffs go into the lottery, and they have the graduated system. Why wouldn't they have waited and just done it after this first round? Do it Monday. Do the lottery like this coming Monday when they're going to do the second phase. Just do the whole thing. You've got 15 teams in it.
All right.
And it takes away this, what we're even talking about here. Because no matter where Lafreniere goes, well, that's not true. If he goes to about four or five spots, people are going to lose their mind and think that this is all rigged. If he goes to Pitt, if Pitt loses, if he goes to Toronto, if Toronto loses, if he goes to Montreal, if Montreal loses, like, people will go crazy.
Edmonton?
I think the Rangers are a primary spot, too. The biggest market in the States. But they're up and coming. You know.
I just think, you know, 12.5% is a decent average, but you still have 87.5% that you're not getting that guy. Like, that's, you know, if I said to you, you got a 12.5% chance of winning this game tonight, you know, if you're the Raptors, like, that's not a very good, you know, it's not a very good percentage. It's a good percentage based on 1-8, but it's still, it's still low.
Like, yeah, you're still rolling the dice.
But Detroit only had 18.5%.
I agree. They got jammed up. So did Ottawa. Yeah, Ottawa had two picks.
Just think, Detroit had to suck for 7 months.
They were the worst team I've ever seen.
And, well, you never watched the Thrashers closely, honestly.
I played against them.
You didn't break a sweat either because you didn't have to.
That Detroit, I kept saying to people, Detroit's got good players, man. Don't say they're that bad. And I would watch them like, they're one of the worst teams I've ever seen, ever.
Well, it was a tank. It was even more of an obvious tank than Toronto's tank.
They tried to make it dignified, but they couldn't.
No, they were. But once it got so low, they just said, what's the point now? You know, like, we're done. They're not good enough. It didn't matter. Yeah. Even if you had the greatest effort, greatest coach in the world, they didn't have enough talent.
They should be in this lottery.
Yeah.
On Monday.
Yeah. No question.
Like it's like they took the whole thing was so complicated to get off the ground. They had this thing that they didn't need to make any changes to. It really didn't need to change at all. And they made a complicated solution that they got, you know, the stinky glove with when Bill Daly had to flip over and say the first pick is a team to be determined.
I got to be honest, guys. I know I'm in the minority of this. I kind of love it. Like, when I saw Bill Daly turn that over, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is the worst case scenario. But it is great for us, like us in the media. It's great. Like, because I have no allegiance to any team. But could you imagine, like we've just been saying, if Toronto doesn't make it, Toronto, like, this guy's playing with Austin Matthews. If Edmonton loses, this guy's playing with, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl. Like, go down the list. Like, you're right. There are teams that did their best to in a rebuild, like Detroit, like Ottawa, that did it the right way. They're rebuilding in their system. They got messed out of this. But it's fantastic theater for me. I have to be honest, that because I don't have an allegiance to any team.
Can you imagine him sitting there watching this? I might end up with Sidney Crosby, or I might be in Toronto, or this is astounding, actually.
Yeah, it is so goofy. It's so typically 2020.
But do you think it's goofy, Hayes, or do you think what they've done here is created an environment where it's good for the league, good chatter, good pub, or do you think
I think it's a bit distracting. Like I said, like, we're distracted right now. We're wondering if a team up 2-1 should be happy that they're up 2-1, right?
Yeah.
And that's because of the circumstances. I don't think in their wildest dreams they really thought they were probably rolling the dice, which that's the irony. They're operating a lottery, yet they're gambling.
League?
Yeah, the league, because they were probably thinking, come on, Detroit. Come on, Ottawa.
Just win it.
Right.
Well, win the first pick, okay? If the third pick is up for grabs, that's kind of cool. That's kind of a little bit different. And, hey, what are you going to do? You lose, but you still get the third pick. The first pick is the worst-case scenario.
My wife doesn't know anything about hockey, and she watched it with me. She's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever
seen. It was so goofy. I said at the time I thought it was.
She's like, well, where the hell's he going? I'm like, I don't know. And I had to explain it to her, or try to, and she just walked away and said, that's stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
Can you imagine when the cards, like, you know, when they did the thing in the back room, you know, because they got to prepare all the cards, and Daly's got to walk down that hallway carrying the cards,
and
the
knows
whole way down going, this is such a disaster.
This is going to be awful.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to get carved by every loudmouth idiot in the whole continent, and that's precisely what's happened for the better part of, you know, a month and a half. But hey, listen, this is the system they chose. This is what they're going with.
Yeah.
Watch, it'll be Nashville that wins anyway.
Well, or Winnipeg, you know, if Winnipeg loses, like there are some, you know, some really nice potential soft landing spots for
him. Do you
think
Ottawa would trade the 3rd and the 5th pick for number 1?
I would.
But whoever's got it, would they do that?
Well, it depends on what team you have. I mean, I would argue if I'm the Leafs, I'd think about it if I want it.
You're talking about trading Lafreniere for Byfield and who's the kid?
And Jamie Drysdale.
And Drysdale. Drysdale and Byfield for Lafreniere.
If you're a team up against the cap, I'll take 2 cheap kids over 1.
Yeah, I mean, you can be creative.
As Pat Quinn would say, that's a loser's race.
Well, yeah, it could be. In retrospect, I might hate myself for making that decision. But what if I hit on both? What if I hit on both? Even if Lafreniere turns into a great player, what if I have 2 great players? Then who won? That's a winner's race, Pat.
It's a loser's race.
I would put it this way. I would have a tough time leaving the 2 guys on the board. You know, like I would want the 2 players, I think.
Yeah, me too.
You know, now, if you're Montreal, you could offer me a hell of a lot more than that, and I'm not giving it to you. Maybe Ottawa, if they had got it too, because you're talking about a player that would appeal widely in their markets.
In Ottawa and Montreal, you mean?
In Ottawa and Montreal, yes.
Yep.
Right.
And maybe it doesn't. Maybe somebody else in a different market might be swayed, because I think Byfield's going to be really a great player. Mm-hmm. And if Drysdale looks at all like he looked at the World Juniors as an underage player, holy smoke, seriously.
Yeah. Not bad. A number 1 center and a number 1 D in one draft.
You know, you can go a long way with that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad at all.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It all comes back, though, guys, to the depth of your team. Like, say one of these big teams loses out just in this first round, and you're loaded at that position. Maybe you do look at 2 players, like Brian's saying, just because you've already got. Lafreniere is a left winger, correct?
He's a winger, yes.
Yeah, I think he can play both, but he'll play left wing.
He's not a centerman.
Yeah,
Craig
talks about him being a number 1 left winger. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just off the top of my head what team has a, you know, a stud left winger that's young and is in this potential situation. Then you could go and maybe get 2 guys that could be changing within, you know, go and get that centerman, go and get that defenseman. That would be, I guess, your mindset.
And I think this would be the year of any year to trade a first-round pick, because if it is one of these – well, it's going to be one of these teams that are in, a lot of fans are just going to be confused. Like, how did you end up with the first pick overall? You just I saw you playing the other night. You know, like, you could trade it before it even registers that kid's coming to town.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be the same buildup. The draft is going to be in October. It's going to have a very different feel to it.
I think that's unfair for you to say the fans are going to be confused. We are going to be confused.
We're all going to be confused.
What's the draft all about? How is it
going
down?
It's going to be in October. It's going to be like over the course of a couple of weeks, free agency, draft, trades.
So it's obviously a virtual draft. Like it's.
Yeah, it'll be like the NFL's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll figure that out, and it'll be fun. But we're miles away from that. We got a bunch of games still to go, including the Leafs in Columbus tonight, and obviously the big difference will be Jake Muzzin not playing, and his absence will be felt at some point. You just know it. At some point tonight, you're going to say, if Muzzin was out there, I'd probably have a bit of a different feel. Do you think that's more likely 5-on-5 or on the penalty kill?
I think 5-on-5, really, because I think Columbus is really going to try to play especially heavy. And that's, you know, that's a skill set and a body type that Muzzin has that they just don't have very much of. Like, I think they'll miss him on those, like those against the Dubois or a Foligno, like heavy, heavy guys. They'll miss him tonight. I think Marincin's a pretty good penalty killer, actually.
Yeah, he's not bad.
I think he does a decent job. They're going to miss him all over, but 5-on-5, they're going to miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like Columbus's power play is is Edmonton's. You know, Columbus struggles on the power play. I think they struggle on the setup. They don't look very crisp, especially in the first two games. Anyways, they just didn't move it around. They look too robotic, if that makes sense.
They don't have any creativity, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so at least last year they could zing it around and somehow get it to Panarin, and he'd make something of it. They don't have anybody like that, and so it's plodding and predictable. And
yeah,
hell, they're the only team I've seen with three defensemen on the power play because they're their best offensive players.
Yeah. That's a weird one, man. I've never seen that.
Yeah,
could you imagine? Oh, we're sitting on the bench and they've got 3D out in front of us on the power
play. I'd skate right to the locker room.
It is an indictment.
What a shot that is.
Yeah, that might be a message up above saying, get me some kind of a skilled forward because I can't keep rolling out another. If I was bypassed by a D to go on the half wall, I would just take my gear off on the bench and just say, no thanks.
Feel shame.
Yeah, I must suck.
Yeah.
Ray, with all this going on, Dregs usually does a segment called Hot Seat. Do you think anybody would ever be in a hot seat after this, or is it all hunky-dory and everyone's just like, oh, it's COVID and don't sweat it, or how do you think it all goes down? Is there going to be a hot seat segment, or everything's just going to play out and fire up next year?
You know what? I think it would be really hard to evaluate somebody on five games once they came back. Like, I think it's just what Brian said about how weird it all is. Like, I can't imagine that changes are made because, you know, 7 days after 4 months didn't go so well.
Yeah, it'd be tough to put, like, anybody in Winnipeg on the hot seat based on what's gone on. You know, like, Maurice is just doing what he can there. But, you know,
any changes that were going to happen were going to happen 4 months ago,
agreed.
I think. Right.
They had plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly. To evaluate,
you know, if they
who
were
going
to do it, right? I'm looking at the teams that are in this thing, and if Nashville goes out, they just hired a new coach in John Hines. You know, the Rangers have David Quinn; they're not going to change there. Columbus isn't changing Torts. Pittsburgh's not changing Mike Sullivan if they were to lose. You know, I just can't see it. I think it slides into the whatever next season is.
Right. Well, and Edmonton, nothing crazy is going to happen there either, clearly. Like, Dave Tippett did a great job this year. Ken Holland just got on the job. He's there for a long time. But
maybe find a new goalie.
That's the debate.
Come a long
is,
way.
You know, how do you react to it? I don't know how to put it into perspective. Like, you've been off for 4 months, and now you come back, and it's not over. Maybe they come back and win that series. They absolutely could. But if you lose, the fans aren't going to be happy. People are going to be freaking out in the marketplace. But I don't know how you assess that.
Here's an example.
That.
So Matt Murray has been average at best. The goal he gave up yesterday, I don't
terrible.
Brutal goal. Just can't go in. I think in a normal season, you see Tristan Jarry in game four. But
right.
He hasn't played since March. Like, how do you – I don't know. Noodles, could you – a couple of scrimmages, like, could you go in there and do a good job?
Yeah, did Jerry play half a game at the exhibition game? I don't remember. I thought I saw. I think he did.
Did they split?
Not that it matters. Honestly, it's 30 minutes 2 weeks ago, and you haven't played since March. So it's starting over anyways. I think you have to ride it. I thought Matt Murray was very good in game two. Game one, he made some good saves. But honestly, I didn't like his game yesterday. I really, and that fourth goal, we were talking about it last hour, Ray, before you came on, like, regardless of the structure, and I'm a goalie hugger, and I could tell you exactly why he did that, but it can't go in. Like, that can't go in. Like, that kid, that's a momentum killer. The guys on the bench are going, how the hell did that go in? Like, to me, he needs to make that save. It's unfortunate because I saw, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Jamie. I thought you were done. I thought 100 out of 100 times you would give up that shot.
Yep.
Like, if you're like, you got to give up a shot from somewhere in the zone, he can shoot it from there till next Tuesday. He's not going to score.
Right.
And then it goes in, and man, and now all of a sudden your back's against the wall. I just saw a little thing from Malkin. He said, I'm not happy with my game. Me, Sid, and Tanger, Letang, have to lead. The other guys have to follow tomorrow.
Yeah. That makes sense. That goal, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That goal.
But I like that he's like, I got to be better. You know, and I have to be.
Yeah. Agreed.
That goal, we're talking about it being a crowd. It was still a cool little shot. I don't care what anybody like. That's.
It was a great shot by Petrie.
It was little goal, yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm not taking anything away from him. He shot at the ear. There's a little hole beside the ear, and he placed it there.
Yeah.
The point being is Matt Murray needs to make that save. That's my point.
Yeah.
He could stand up. It's pretty easy.
Kirky old McLean. School. There he
is. Kirky McLean just hugged the post and legs together.
I like it. That thing gets that hits you right in the chest if you go Kirk McLean.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe you're up 2-1 in the series right now.
Yeah, but if it goes
or
cross
he slides
crease,
it on the ice and beats you court side.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Or hits a guy back door that you can't get to, and you know.
That doesn't matter. Those are details that
doesn't
don't count.
Matter.
No.
Anyway, enjoy the games tonight, buddy. We'll break them down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Be well, boys.
Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. There's some craziness going on. I guess we should have anticipated that. Like, it's chaotic. It's got a March Madness vibe to it. It's after 4 months off in a bubble with no fans. Why would you expect normalcy? Why would you expect anything to be predictable? And Edmonton's down 2-1. Pittsburgh's down 2-1. Winnipeg, although that was a coin flip anyway. But I didn't see it playing out the way it has played out based on injuries. And
right.
It's almost like that series was just deflated right off the hop. With the Scheifele injury, it just never felt like it was on even ground. And Laine's out, and they're in action, and they're in survival mode tonight. And the Leafs are tied at 1 with Columbus, and that game's starting up in about an hour and a half. So we'll tee that up throughout the rest of the hour. We'll get into this coaching decision, trying to play a mind game on the players, and I can't imagine it worked. If anything, I think it might backfire. We'll tell you about that. And we're tracking the PGA Championship. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so a bit of a development in the PGA Championship. Bryson DeChambeau, who's currently 2-under, just snapped the hosel right off his driver. I mean,
But did he do it in the act of a swing, or did he, like, flex it getting the tee? Because if he did it during play, he can replace it. But if he did it doing something else, it's no guy.
Well, he did it picking up his tee, so I don't know. What is the rule on that? Like
I think he should be allowed to replace it because probably the impact of the drive he just hit, and he probably leaned on it picking up, what did you say, picking up his tee?
Yeah, he was leaning on it picking up his tee, and it snapped right off. The head of the club just snapped right off the shaft.
So you're not allowed to bring in spare drivers?
I think the rule might be any kind of normal act in golf where if you, like, smash it over a tree, you can't replace it.
Right. Well, not shockingly, he was talking to a rules official, which doesn't take long for him. He's got one. He's got his own guy following him around.
Now. I don't doubt it.
But he did have someone that was on the course with him, someone in his entourage, and I was just listening to it actually in the break, and he sent him back to the car to pick it up. So I think they're going to allow him to bring a driver from the parking lot back into the field of play and back into his bag because, you know, I think you're right, though. Like if you wrap it around a tree and it snaps off, that's on you.
You're not getting a new one, no.
No, but if you lean down to pick up a tee and it snaps, I mean, you should be allowed to retrieve a new club, and that's what he's doing. But
right.
They just – like I just heard because I was in the other room, he uses a loft of 5 degrees on his
and
driver.
And still hits moon balls.
I know. He still – his launch angle is through the roof. But 5 degrees, like the average golfer's got 10.5, maybe 12.
A 5-degree driver?
5-degree, yep. So I hope he's brought like a handful of them with him because you're not going to find that at, you know, Golf Galaxy in San Francisco. No one's got a 5-degree weapon
with
waiting
a triple X shaft in it.
Yeah, exactly. So We'll see what goes on there. I'll bet you Koepka will chirp him on Twitter. You just know it.
Oh, yeah.
Koepka is all over DeChambeau.
Does he hate his guts, or is he just joking?
I don't know if they're buddies or what. Yeah, it's tough to tell.
It'll be awkward because they're going to be on Ryder Cup teams, President's Cup teams, and they just...
They'll be paired at a major soon. I wouldn't be shocked if it's this weekend. Koepka's 4-under, DeChambeau's 2-under. They'll both be in the mix come Saturday, I'll bet it.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love that.
Be the greatest. It'd be such great theater. So the Leafs are in action tonight against Columbus. Nate Pearson on the mound for the Blue Jays. We have been teasing this story for a bit. Well, a couple of stories we've been teasing. The golf story from our own story from this morning that we'll get to in just a moment. But we all were going back and forth in the group chat. This is a story that I hope falls flat for John Gruden. All right, so John Gruden, who we all know is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. We got to get used to saying that.
Yeah.
He was scheduled to have a Zoom meeting with, I believe, his whole roster. If not his whole roster, a good portion of it anyway. And when everyone logged on, instead of Gruden being there, an assistant coach was leading the charge in the Zoom meeting. And the reason he was there was because he told the players John Gruden was in the hospital with COVID. And it was not true. Simply to, I guess, prepare the players for the inevitability of one of their teammates or coaches being hospitalized for COVID.
Playing mind tricks. That's a fail. Like, it's just an incredible fail.
A massive failure.
Weird.
That is goofy. And that's the kind of stuff
that's fireable offense.
Can make you exactly. A, you're being kind of almost playing like it's like trivial with COVID. You know, like it's such a serious disease and virus that the whole world is focused on right now. It's not something to trifle with. And, you know, even though you're not playing games, he would claim he's coaching. He's using it as a coaching tool. Would you say you have cancer and you're in the hospital? I don't think so. Like, John Gruden had a heart attack last night. He's in the hospital. Would you ever do that?
Why would you ever do that? If it's not John Gruden and he's not making $10 million a year, Brian, he's fired. It's a terrible offense.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if the players went to ownership and said, do you think we're four years old?
This ass clown pulling this garbage.
Do you think Lloyd Christmas is going to let him go?
No. Well, unless he thinks he can get off the hook for the 100 sheets.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's there's a clause in the contract that he can get off the hook and not pay him $10 million a year for an 8-8 team. But
just bizarre.
That
really
is a weird
bizarre
one.
Really bizarre. Like, how would that possibly prepare players? Like, what? prepare them how?
For what?
Yeah, exactly. You don't actually have COVID. You're not in the hospital.
No, it's a major fail. It's just a major fail.
Yeah.
I always wonder when those situations come up, because he had to probably run that by one of his assistant coaches or whoever else was involved, how the second guy said, yeah, that would be funny, or that would be a great idea. Pull your head out of your ass. That's not funny. It's not a good idea. Who would sign off on that?
I don't know.
We're three idiots.
I think he doesn't run that by anybody.
No, I think that's either.
A last-minute thing. He's like, hey, I'm going to do this.
Jamie, the guy that was speaking, he would have had to sign off and just say, yeah, we're doing this.
Well, unless he thought, I can't say no, or this guy's going to kick me off the staff or something. I don't know.
Who knows? It's so weird.
It's such a weird report. When I read it last night, I'm like, are you serious? They actually, like, why would you treat your players like that? And why would you think that's going to prepare them for anything? Like, if anything, it's going to be the boy who cried wolf. Next time you tell them if it's true, they're going to say, no, he's not. I don't believe you.
Well, I don't understand what you gain out of that. That's my question. No, but, like, even they're not playing. Like, if I'm sitting and waiting for the coach to come on, they're like, the coach has got COVID, I'd hang up and go, okay, call me when he's better. Like, you know, that's like,
well,
what does
exactly
it matter?
What am I supposed to do? Like, oh, wow, I hope he's okay. Keep me posted. But what did they think? Players were going to start running to Vegas?
I guarantee you an issued apology comes out tomorrow. I guarantee it has to.
He's too macho and in charge, and it's his way or the highway. Or he'll come up with some explanation.
COVID?
He'll come up with some explanation and say it was a miscommunication. That's not what happened.
He's
it's fake
have,
news.
Well, guess what Mike Babcock said when he got ratted out for his stupid little antics with Mitch Marner? It was a bad look. It was a bad play by me. You gotta get ahead of it.
Maybe there's a mea culpa. Hey, it was for the right reasons, and
you
I'm worried.
You have been tossing around some dandies today.
Yeah, mea culpa is a good one. Mea culpa.
Mea culpa.
Mea culpa is an all-time favorite.
You don't even know what that means. I'm sorry. What does it mean?
It's like admitting to a mistake and trying to move on from it, basically. A mea culpa. Like you this morning when we were supposed to play golf, and your mea culpa is an explanation for
what happens. I get on the Gardner at 5:25 a.m. because I got to drive out to play Uxbridge with Gary Roberts and Brian Hayes. Okay? So my car goes kaput. I could sniff it out. I was in the line at the coffee shop, and I got a couple of coffees, and it just sounded weird. And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Well, I'll just kind of grind it out, and maybe it'll get me to the course."
Well, I don't want to interrupt. I'll let you finish the story. You have a rental car right now?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So,
but I've never known a rental car to break down.
It's this not. So- this was my real car. Oh, okay, I had to get a rental car after that.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
So. At 5:52, I write, "You guys are most likely teeing it up without me. I'm on the Gardner. My car is broken down. Not sure what you guys want to do, but I'm sitting here waiting for roadside assistance." I'm thinking that Gary and Brian are going to communicate individually and say, "We'll just meet at the course and we'll play. It doesn't matter about Jeff." So right. Brian Hayes right away, "Damn, reschedule for next week, ? I'm like, "What? Just go to the Wooden Sticks and play golf." I'm like, I would have just gone. I don't care if Gary showed up. I'm golfing at the time that I was told.
Yeah, but you're the guy between them.
Exactly. You're the connection.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
It does matter. In society, it matters. The connection has to be a part of the program, dude. Yeah. And there's more to it. There's context behind it.
He texted and he goes, "Reschedule for next week, ? You're not going to make it out there if you're waiting for long." And I wrote back, by the way, feathers from the third guy, Gary Roberts. I thought he would have typed in saying, "Brian, I'll see you at the course, whatever."
No, because he was thinking like I was. I'm not meeting this idiot to play golf. I don't want to.
So I write back, "You guys do what you want. I know Brian wanted to play the course," kind of floating that one out there, kind of sending out the vibe. He still wants to get this thing done. And just feathers for a while, and then he writes, "We'll reschedule if that works, all good." Like 5 minutes before the tee time, Gary chimes in. He goes, "Guys, I'm out. I was trying to make it work. I'll cancel it." I was like, okay.
With the option for rescheduling in the future.
Yeah.
But here's the context that needs to be added to the conversation.
Okay, go ahead.
The two of us have been bothering everyone we know in Southern Ontario trying to golf. Okay, so we were supposed to golf. We've been bothering people, bugging people. Everyone's like, "Leave me alone. No, no, no." Finally, Gary's nice enough. Roberts is like, "Okay, fine. Well, you know, I can hook you up. I'll get you out here." So he's doing a favor to begin with for O. But he also said, "Guys, I'm not playing 18. I might play 9 with you, and then I'm going to take off."
You know a guy, once he plays 9, he always sticks
around. I know that,
around.
But when the seeds have been planted that he doesn't really want to play, he's just doing us a favor, and I'm going to play 9 and take off. That's his way of saying, "I'd rather not be playing, but I'm too nice.
I'm hooking you up."
Exactly. Yeah. So when you bail, I'm sure he's thinking, "Okay, I'm out. Like, I'm not going to go. I'm not Joe Hospitality here."
I know, but what you could have done, if you had have thought quickly, do you got a golf buddy in Whippy?
I could have found one, but dude, it's 6 a.m. in the morning.
That's like, right, but you call some son of a gun and you say, "Get your ass out of bed, we're going to play Wooden Sticks."
I'm not that close with anyone out here to that extent. I got buddies that I could do that for, but they're 45 minutes away. They're in the city. I can't call my neighbor at 6 a.m. He'd disown me as a neighbor. I'd be out.
I honestly think your option of just saying, "Screw it, I'm going to the course anyway."
But I'm not playing by myself. I love playing golf.
If it was me, I just ignore the text and I'm going to the course because I don't want my day screwed. I sniff around in the range. I say, "Look, I'm the guy in front of you. Anybody want to come up, play? Whatever. I'm playing that course. That's
it." I've got one other scenario that I don't want to accuse or anything, but Is there a chance that maybe you just slept in and were like, no, I'm not doing this? Or did the car really break down? Like, were you on the road? Did you FaceTime everyone and all that? Is there visual? Like, is there evidence that the car broke down?
Jamie, I swear my life, I don't even drink anymore.
I'm not talking about drinking. I was
5:30. I asked my wife. I was horny to play too.
I was jacked to play.
You know how sometimes you forget or you sleep in and you're like, ah, the hell.
I didn't get that impression because it was a 5:52. Even if he just woke up at 5:52, he could have been on the road in 15 minutes.
Okay, fair enough. Then
I was in the coffee lineup at 5:15. I was horny to go.
Here's another thing is, hey, you know, Gary Roberts, I've met Gary a few times. He's I'm sure he listens to the show. He's heard the show. You know, I didn't want to put him in a spot where he's like, okay, I actually have to take this guy out. Like, I'm going out with O and Hayes is riding shotgun here.
Dude, he doesn't think like that's what you're so afraid of.
Everybody's, no, I'm not. It's not afraid. It's about
buddy factory is like, hey, come out, like whatever. It doesn't matter. Like Gary would not give a rat's ass if I was there or not.
Well, that's not like, true.
Oh, that is true.
That's not
it's
even
slightly awkward though. You don't have the relationship. Like that's a thing. Brian's
and golf
saying,
is such an intimate. It's not like it was, you know, a pickup hockey game.
I used to live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and my buddy was a lawyer and had to work outrageous hours. He used to send me a text saying, my buddy's flying in. Go pick him up and take him to RCC and play golf. I'd be like, all right. I wouldn't even know the guy. Hey, what's up? And we'd go play 36 for fun. What's wrong with it? It's so easy.
All right. Then set it up. Next time I – listen, but honestly, if it was – if we were locked in and Gary was like, I'm Jack, let's go. But he made it clear. He's playing nine and leaving anyway. So even if it was fine for us to go play, I'm not playing the back nine by myself. Like, that's just not in my wheelhouse. You know, I love playing golf.
You didn't want it enough. You could have sniffed around the pro shop. You want to tee it up?
Assistant pro. Like, they've got they have got nothing else to do but play the back nine with me. And anyway, it doesn't matter. It happens.
I felt so bad, though, because I'm on that. Yeah, I had a sideshow on my own head because I could barely get to the side of the road. Cop car, tow trucks. Whole nine, and I could tell when you got that text, you were probably had the cologne going, you had the deodorant, golf shirt on.
I was waking up every 2 hours all night, like knowing that, like I'm going to play, and we're playing a good track, and I had the clubs at the front door, the whole nine.
Wow,
and it just went south.
It happens. Cars break down. I mean,
we'll reschedule, and we'll make sure Gary can play all 18. We'll make sure it's on his sked, and we'll get back out there. I'm not too worried about it. We got two and a half months of golf. We'll figure it out.
All right.
But I wasn't gonna jump. I wasn't going to play with a guy who I didn't think really wanted to play anyway.
I know
that was connecting
with
you, and I was just the guy who was kicking around for the ride. I know Gary a little bit, but not that well, and not enough to.
But for a guy, listen. I think for this is not just about golf, but I think for the No Balls Open, you were 34 under par. You wanted to tee it. You love the course, or you think you do. You've never played
it. I would have loved to have played. Dude, you look at it that way. I look at it as, wow, that's a very courteous maneuver.
See, you don't think, though. You didn't think. What you text is, oh, darn, I'm at the course already. What should I do? And I don't care if it was 4 in the morning. Your next text has got to be, oh, crap, I'm already here. I'm talking to Bill
Well, it would have been a different story if I got the text and I was on my way there. I would have continued to play, but I was still in bed.
You make it up.
I was still in bed. I didn't. Yeah. It was fine. It's all good.
You text an hour later saying, "Oh crap! I just turned on my phone. I'm at the course. I'm having a bagel."
Well, that's what Gary was like. Rob's was trying to pull the same kind of thing. I think with his original text, it was almost like, "Oh, guys, sorry, I'm out. Oh, wait a minute. Now that I've read it, yeah, okay. Well, let's just cancel."
Well, I'm not saying anything about Gary because he was nice enough to try to get us on that course. But what happened? Like, he was going to play golf. What happened at 5, 6 a.m. for him that he had to just say no way?
Well, I think what happened was he knew you were coming. And listen, he's a busy guy anyway. He's got a lot of things going on.
He's probably dealing with Stamkos right now.
Exactly.
He's trying to get that guy back playing.
And that's my point. I think Gary's like, oh, sorry, Stammer, I can't take this call. Brian Hayes is on his way out.
Like, he's on the tee.
Yeah, he's on the tee, and he's telling everyone that he's here with Gary Roberts. Like, I don't think that that was necessarily his top priority, and I don't blame him one bit.
I agree. Robs was basically saying, oh, you jam me up and put me with a super fan. And
exactly. I show up in a Robert's Leaf jersey. That's what he wants. Sign it on the first tee, and I'll just
Robert's
pepper him with
Leaf
questions.
Robert's Leaf jersey tucked into a tight pair of Austin Matthews shorts.
Yeah.
And just ready to tee it.
And just spraying it everywhere, saying, let's play from the Reds.
Yeah, it's question time for the next 3 hours.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, do you remember in 02? Like, that's what he wants. I'm sure he'd love it. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the show and tee up the Leaf game tonight. Leafs-Columbus game 3 tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, game 3 tonight, Leafs-Columbus. And they're back in action tomorrow night. I mean, back-to-back. We've got two big games over the course of 27 hours in the month of August. So gear up, Leaf fans.
Are you buying the 50-50 tonight? Did you see that Edmonton 50-50?
Yeah, it was
incredible.
Like $2 million or something, wasn't it?
More than that.
The whole thing was like 5.5, but
yeah, I think it broke the world record of 50-50.
Wow, that's
something
crazy.
Like that
for all for online too, right?
Leafs are trying it tonight. Theirs is at 4,800.
Yeah, no one in Ontario plays 50-50. Like Western Canadians are crazy with 50-50.
I know. Like I was actually sending notes. Like I sent a note to my brother. I'm like, buy some, and my buddies too. Like just buy. Like hey, you know what? It changes people's lives. Be pretty cool.
I saw one woman won like $400,000+ after game one, I think it was. And that's tax free, right? In this country,
they don't.
Yeah, like straight cash.
Love
that. That is a crazy. Like she spent like $30 on tickets or whatever. It's, you know, you're playing the lottery, quite literally.
Yeah.
Say that fast 5 times.
That's all right, though.
But yeah, 50-50, people
right
making it rain.
Oh, you weren't wrong. Right now, the estimated prize is $6,855.
Way to respond.
We're just getting after it here in Toronto.
I'm buying 100 tickets.
Attaboy. Good luck. Knock on wood.
Good luck.
All right, Leafs-Columbus tonight. Nate Pearson on the mound for the Jays and the PGA Championship continuing. So tomorrow we're going to have a fun show, and we'll see where we go from here. We'll see what the Leafs have in store tonight. We are out of here. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We are back tomorrow at...
Noodles?
4 p.m.?
Join us.
Oh, wow. The poolie, join us.
The poolie, join us.
Just
throws everyone off. All right, boys. Take it easy. Time now for a traffic update.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.